This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run. It's our weekly take on all things property related. I'm Sim Wee Boon. On the show today, we have Dr. Tan Lok Moon, the principal of Dr. Tan LM Architect, and architect Amanda Tay of SC Tay Architect. Dr. Tan is best known for having designed the first Green Building Index Platinum rated house in Malaysia, the S11 house. He also led the team from the Malaysian Institute of Architects to set up the Green Building Index rating for Malaysia 10 years ago. Amanda mainly focuses on designing private residences. In her previous firm, she was part of the team who designed the Belander House, a hilltop house that was featured in the film Crazy Rich Asians for Michelle Yeoh's character Eleanor Young. Today, I'll be talking to them about the trends in designing from an architectural perspective. So, Dr. Tan, I want to start off with you and I want to ask you, what is your design philosophy and what inspires you?
I think what we do, our philosophy is always based around tropical architecture. And as we start to see, you know, human degradation of the environment and climate change coming upon us, so increasingly our tropical architecture has become more and more linked to the climate as well as green and sustainability.
And what about you, Amanda? What inspires you and what drives your design identity?
Oh, okay. Well, during my professional training, I was assigned to do quite a lot of typical housing projects at the beginning, ranging from landed to high rise. So back then, actually, most of the designs that that I was doing was bounded to very, very typical layout. I should call it as a very practical, non-risky and cost-effective design. Right. So, but then that, and actually, I always thought that, believe that the home is not just about, you know, one decorating box, you know, it should contain the spaces that breathe and that's inspired us, you know, on whatever that we are doing. So I won't say that I really have a real philosophy, but rather I would say that we all approach each of our project with there's one process that we call it as a knitting as an operative strategy. So again, the word knitting is very, it sounded very feminine in this masculine industry, I would say that. So how we did it is our starting point is we will pull out the project brief that given by our client, and then we will look at the spaces as a, you know, it's like individual components. Then we will define the architectural position, which actually needs the whole together. That's how we do our design approach.
Very interesting. Okay, well, with that said, in your line of work, especially right now, what kind of trends are you observing, the type of trends that people want or talk about more? Maybe, Amanda, you can take the first round.
To me, I think recently everybody is talking about green homes. Right? I think that is like a hot trend in demand now, if you would ask me. Yeah. It's actually, it's a very interesting process where actually it's exhibiting our initial or our first step towards sustainable homes for our existing society. Yeah. So, but I guess to design a green home is not that easy because we need to have a through integrations between the homes and its existing natural surroundings. So I think that's in trend.
Okay. And what about you, Doc? Are you observing that green homes are a trend?
Yeah, I think for sure that green tropical architecture is the current, for want of a better word, trend. It's coming back in a very strong way. I did the S11 house, my own personal house, family home, when I was developing the Green Building Index some 10 years ago. And recently, I've just done something new to it. Just before the COVID-19 set upon us in March, in February of this year, I put a whole new array of solar panels on the roof. And now I have like 25 kilowatt peak on the roof and I'm basically net zero energy. That means I don't actually need to get energy from TNB anymore. So the reason I was able to do that was in 10 years, the cost of solar panels have come down so much, maybe five times. And it has become affordable and it's become the cheapest form of energy that comes from the sun. And it's basically free as long as you can recover your cost. The payback period is somewhere between 6 to 7 years, which makes it, you know, very, very practical, and you get your money back. And after that, it just keeps generating electricity. We were about to go on the road to promote net zero houses, which is one step further from just a GBI platinum house. And interestingly, all the new houses that I'm designing for my clients, all of them are now embarking on this. That means they are all going for maximum solar panels on the roof. And just because it's also affordable, it's the right thing to do now.
Okay, but these clients that want to use solar panels, are these like individual clients, or in fact, are developers even looking at this?
Developers have been looking at it for quite a number of years. Some of our clients, they've put it in on their buildings, like an eco park and all this. But that was 10 years ago when the cost was very high. Now it's become five times cheaper. I used to pay 24,000 ringgit for 1 kilowatt peak. Now this in February this year, I paid 5,000 ringgit for 1 kilowatt peak. It's come down so much. And developers need to get back into it. They tried it maybe 8, 9 years ago when it was still expensive. But now that it's much more reasonable and practical and feasibility viable, developers should start to look at it again. The clients that I have are for private houses. It's very easy to convince them because most of them come to visit my house and they can totally see the difference between a green rated house and a non-green rated house. And GBI has done a lot to educate the public. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to ask then, you know, because I mentioned trend. Do you think this sustainable green home is just merely a trend, or will this be the kind of like setting stone for it to last as a standard in the future?
I don't believe it's a trend. I think it's the right thing to do. Climate change is going to affect us even more than COVID has. And it is just that it does it very gradually. You don't feel it, but you are slowly sinking further and further into the abyss. It's definitely the right thing to do. So I wouldn't call it a trend because trends come and go. We have seen green just continue to push forward on and on. The next step after solar PV, I believe, are batteries. And battery technology has changed tremendously. And I think September 22nd, Tesla announced it as Battery Day. And their battery technology is very advanced. 10 years ago, when the iPhone came out, or the old handphones, you could actually change the battery. But today, you buy any smart device, you can't change the battery. You don't need to change the battery. The technology dies before the battery does. Battery technology has changed tremendously.
Okay, and Amanda, what about you? What can you say about this green trend that's coming? Is it here to stay, or is it something merely just an interest flavor of the moment?
I think for the for green homes, actually, well, in the olden days, a lot of architects do something about it as well. It's just that it got far more advanced due to the technology that we have in the market at the moment. So if we are talking about because for my office, we are doing more private homes. So if the budget allows, of course, we will introduce the solar energy, you know, system to our client in order to, you know, to make it a green buildings, right? So, but other than that, of course, we do other things like the rain harvesting, and then we recycling the rainwater to use it for toilets, flushing the toilets and things like that. Grey water, right? Well, recycling material is quite hard for me for the private homes, unless it's a public building, because it's quite hard for me to convince a client to use recycling material for their new homes. I find that it's a big challenge.
Is it due to misconceptions or simply because the client is not knowledgeable about it enough?
Maybe. And then because the renewable green material flooring, we are talking about bamboo flooring, and the first sight of it, they won't like it. They still want to go back to their old, you know, expensive Burmistic flooring and things like that. So it's quite hard to convince them to use a green products, actually.
And what about you, Dr. Tan? Because I think I've read that you have managed to reuse recycled materials in some of the work that you do.
Yeah, we try as much as possible to recycle and reuse. I agree with Amanda. Some clients, they just want their expensive new finishes, but we have the clients that come to us generally tend to sway towards green. So they generally accept it. I just want to touch a bit about the next step of sustainability. I think the next step is actually sufficiency. I think we're all going through this problem of water cuts regularly now in the Klang Valley. Amazing, isn't it?
For yes, very true, very true.
Any developed country. But my house, because I've got I've got rainwater harvesting and I've got a lot of storage tanks, I've never run out of water. And I think that, you know, we have sort of taken water for granted. It's actually the most expensive sort of free commodity. If you go to a petrol station, you buy a small bottle of water, it actually costs more than the petrol that you pump into your car. But you think little of it and you just pay a dollar for a small bottle of water. So water is something that we should not take for granted. And interestingly, I've got calls from my friends the past day and a half asking me to come to their house and see how to add. They want to start doing rainwater harvesting and recycling now. And I think the next step is definitely green, moving on to sustainability, and sustainability moving on to sufficiency. That means able to stand on your own, being able to be self-sufficient.
All right, we're going to take a short break right now for some ads. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're tuned into the Property Show in the Morning Run. I'm Sim Wee Boon, and with me today are architects Dr. Tan Lok Moon and Amanda Tay. Both of them run their own respective firms, Dr. Tan LM Architect and SC Tay Architect. Amanda, she mainly focuses on designing private residences, and in her previous firm, she was part of the team who designed the Belanda House, a hilltop house that was featured in the film Crazy Rich Asians. Whereas Dr. Tan is best known for leading the team from the Malaysian Institute of Architects to set up the Green Building Index rating for Malaysia, and as well for designing the S11 house, the first Green Building Index platinum rated house in Malaysia. The topic of the day is trends in designing homes from an architectural perspective. And earlier in the show, we touched on how environmentally friendly materials and green homes help to make houses and homes more sustainable. Dr. Tan, things like solar panels, water catchment systems, the issue that comes to mind for me is availability of space. A lot of houses now have very limited space, and most of them is designed in a way where the developers really want to maximize their margins. What are your thoughts on this availability of space and making homes more sustainable?
I think space is always there. I think the rainwater harvesting and storage tanks, they are now sort of made, you know, so in very thin slabs, and you can actually hang them on walls. You don't actually need a round tank, as we all think about it. It's actually, it can be flat. It can be just 2 feet wide or 1 foot wide, and it can be hung along the walls. So it doesn't take up much space. The next thing that I believe is in the future, as I mentioned earlier, after solar panels, is batteries. And batteries for houses, because, you know, in daytime, when most people are not home, you use the least electricity. But that's when the solar panels generate the most electricity. So batteries are coming in and they are very, very thin. If you look at the Tesla battery for homes, it's not available in Malaysia yet, unfortunately, but the price is going to start coming down tremendously. And I'm already starting to look at the next step for S11 house to really start to pack it up with batteries, so that I can actually charge it up. And batteries are literally flat. They can be placed against the wall as well. So it doesn't necessarily take up a lot of space. The only one that takes up space is solar panels, because you need roof space for that. But if it is a landed house, like a terrace house or a semi-D or bungalow, there's usually sufficient roof space to generate quite a large proportion of your electrical needs.
The both of you are no doubt very experienced, have probably dealt with a lot of clients. I want to ask about the Malaysian client in terms of when they want to design their homes, where they engage you to design their homes. Are Malaysians knowledgeable about what they want? Like, do they know what they want? Or do you find yourself having to guide them or handhold them throughout the process? Maybe Dr. Tan, you can start off first.
I think you know, not letting Malaysians travel so much is good. What I find is when some clients travel and they start taking pictures and they come back and they want a Greek temple built in Malaysia, then I think that that doesn't fit the environment at all. And it's climatically wrong. So we do need to guide our clients along. But as I've developed my practice and my philosophy, we have been getting clients that are coming to us who know what we do. And they basically give me free hand at the moment. So I'm a bit privileged, in a bit of a privileged position. And they all want to go green, which is good for me as well. Yeah.
And what about you, Amanda?
Well, usually the clients, our potential clients, they know what they want, actually. And usually they will log into our website and then they will view our past projects. And so if they have this see eye to eye with us on the aesthetic sense, I think it will be a lot easier, you know, for us to guide them through the whole design process. And talking about, you know, traveling, you know, client go overseas, I have a problem with Pinterest. Where clients, they will come in with and share a lot of their Pinterest images without realizing that actually the design features aren't suited for their project. From aspect of such as like land size and profile, you know, it's like slopy land and flat land is like totally completely different. And then local climate restrictions, like what Dr. Tan was saying, and also maintenance requirements. Sometimes they want something that they do not know how much maintenance they need to have after the project is handed over to them. So all this we have to highlight to them, or else they will come in with a lot of Pinterest nowadays.
yeah. Let's get a bit more on that. So in terms of like design, right? I mean, what are the limiting factors that we have that make it hard for certain buildings to be built? I mean, is it weather? Is it the land? Is it the expertise? Is it the materials available to us?
It's all the above. Like, for instance, let's talk about like land profile. You know, sometimes they walk in and show us this like huge house that they want to do on a 35-degree land, and we were like, how can you achieve that? So it's quite a big challenge, and we need to guide them through, and then they will digest it, and then they will accept it, you know, slowly. We need times.
And you mentioned weather, Dr. Tan. So what is it about our weather that's a limiting factor?
We live in the tropics, and yeah. We should not fool ourselves that we are in Australia or in Melbourne or Sydney, where it's dry and humid and it's got four seasons. Down here, it's hot and humid. Heat we can deal with by getting good cross ventilation, having a fan or air movement, but humidity is the real one that we need to tackle. So the obvious easy way that everyone tells you is to put air conditioning right through the house, which costs you a lot of money. And as well as that, it keeps, you know, it's got a very high running cost. And it's totally not green. It's not tropical at all. And, you know, we should find a way that we can orientate the house, keep the east and west with as few windows as possible, if it's at all possible. Or if there are east and west walls with windows, try to plant trees around it. Try to use the natural environment and the terrain and fit the house into the environment. Don't destroy the environment. Something that we have learned in a lot of our work is whenever I see a tree on the side, I try very, very hard to try to keep the tree, because the tree has been there for years and it deserves to be there. So by keeping the tree, you actually, you know, provide shade and you provide biodiversity, you get better oxygen. So there's no reason to try to cut down all the trees and flatten the site. That's totally not the right way to do it.
That's all the time we have for today's property show. Thank you for being on the show, Dr. Tan and Amanda. I've been talking to Dr. Tan Lok Moon, principal of Dr. Tan LM Architect, and Amanda Tay of SC Tay Architect. If you want to catch more of this conversation, do download the BFM app available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. I'm Sim Wee Boon, signing off for the morning run. We've got a 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up next, followed by Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.